Begin the current daf Maseches Bamitzias daf Kuf Yud Ches. Begin 7 lines down at the top of the Yamid, where the Gemara begins the Gemara discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf, where the Mishnah had opened up on the theme of this parak regarding Habayis Va'aliyah, regarding if someone's on the first floor and someone else on the second floor. So a similar type of a case, which was that if someone had built an olive press in the rock of a mountain, and the top of where the olive press is their garden, and then the dome of the olive press, which is the floor of the garden, caved in, says the Mishnah, then the person of the garden could come down and then plant in the olive press until the olive press fixes his dome so that then he could plant on top of the olive dome. On that, the Gemara explains that Nifchasa, this halacha, the Mishnah, regarding that if it caved in, there's a machlikis amirum regarding how much has to be considered caved in, and then he has a right to come down and now plant in where the olive press is. Rav Amar Baruba. Rav says only if the majority of the floor of the garden, which is the roof of the dome of the olive press, if the majority caved in, then he could say, look, you got to fix your dome because or else my garden doesn't exist. And if he doesn't fix it, he could come down. Shmuel Amar Ba'arba. Shmuel says that even if it's just 4 tefachim that caved in, that gives him enough of a right to come down. Now the Gemara explains, Rav Amar Baruba says it has to be majority of Ba'arba, Odom Zereya Chetzi Lamata V'Chetzi Lamal. But if it's only 4 tefachim, a person tends to plant some of he could plant in the garden some on the top and some on the bottom. So although, yes, that area of 4 tefachim, which caved in, that he has a right, but he doesn't have a right to move his whole garden into the guy on the bottom. He could put that area that caved in, that he could plant at the bottom, but the rest he has to plant on the top. Shmuel Amar, no, Ba'arba, it's even if it's only an area of 4 tefachim that caved in, that he can move his whole garden downstairs. Because Ein Odom Zereya Chetzi Lamata V'Chetzi Lamal, a person can plant half his garden on the top, half his garden on the bottom. It doesn't want to split it all up. And therefore, even just an area for Tfachim, he can move his whole garden downstairs until the olive press fixes his dome. Now, says the Gemara, it's Sricha, and it was necessary to say the Machlik is Rav Shmuel over here in this Mishnah regarding an olive dome in the rock and on top of that a garden. And also, a Machlik is we had in the previous Mishnah regarding the Halacha when Habayis V'Aliyah, when the first floor person's roof, which is the floor of the second story, caves in, that we had the same machlik as Rav and Shmuel. So why do we need a 2-time? Says the Gemara Tzricha, Yashmin and Dira. Had we said there the machlik is only regarding a dwelling house, regarding a first floor and the second floor in the house, Bahakamar Shmuel would say that only did the Shmuel say that even if it's only 4 tefachim that caves in, that then the guy in the second floor can move into the first floor. Shem Delevi, the inchi, the diary, Portahacha, because dwelling, living, person doesn't live half his stuff in one apartment, half his stuff in another apartment. So therefore, since he has a significant area of 4 tefachim that caved in, he can move all his stuff downstairs. Avla in Zrib, regarding planting, we would say, Avidi inchi di zari hacha porta vacha porta, that people do plant a little bit over here, or a little bit over here, they'll do it in patches. So, Eimim Moidil Rav, so we would think to say that Shmuel would agree to Rav in the case of the garden. That's why we have to say the Machloikis even over here, that even though we hear the Shmuel hold, that even by a garden, 4 tefachim caved in gives him the right to move downstairs. Now, so to the other way, Viat Mebahach, had we only said the halacha over here by the garden, I would say Bahach Kama Rav. That's where Rav says that you need to have a majority of the floor of the garden to cave in. Abaha Eimimoy Leila Shmuel, regarding a dwelling place, we would say that he agrees to Shmuel that no, people planting, you'll plant a little bit here, patches here, but living, you wouldn't. Tzricha, that's what's necessary to say that even over there, does Rav hold that no, even by dwelling, a person would live half up, half down, only unless a majority of it caved in, then he'd be allowed to move entirely down to the first floor person's apartment. Now the Mishnah said another halacha, also regarding causing damage, where the Mishnah said if a person's tree or his wall falls into the Rosh Hashanah and it causes damage, so then he's going to be exempt because it wasn't his fault. Now, but then the Mishnah said if nasnu leizman, but if the courts gave him a set time, they said, oh, this tree doesn't look good, this wall looks like it's going to fall into the street, it's going to cause damage. So the Mishnah said if it's within the time frame that they gave him, so he's exempt because the time that he had to get rid of it didn't reach yet. But if it's already after that time, and then it falls and causes damage, then it's going to be chay. So the Gemara clarifies, v'kamas man bez, and how much is the time spent that courts usually give in generic situations like getting rid of a dangerous wall or a tree? Rebbechon, he says, shleishim yom, it's for a period of 30 days. That would be the defining marker. If it falls before that, before the 30 days are up, then he'll be pater. After that, he'll be chay. Then the Mishnah moved on to a related case, that also regarding a wall falling into another area. So the Mishnah spoke about a case where if someone's wall was bordering his friend's garden, and then his wall crumbled and fell into his friend's garden, And then the guy, the owner of the garden, said, get rid of your bricks over here. It's killing my yard. So the owner of the wall said, it's, you know, you could keep it. I'll let you keep the bricks that fell into your garden. So that the Mishnah said, ain't shemela. We don't listen to him. That is, he can't require the guy to have to deal with his bricks. Then the Mishnah said, but if Mishakibullah, if the owner of the garden accepted, he says, you know what, fine, I'll clean it up because I can make some use of these bricks. And then the owner of the wall tells him, no. I want to change my mind. I know you spent a lot of time and money on getting rid of the bricks that fell into your area, your garden, but I'll pay for your expenses. I want to take back mine. And then says the Mishnah, no, ain't shemela. Then we don't list them already. Then the owner of the garden has already acquired those bricks that they can't retract. Now the Gemara has a question. Hamiktani Seifa. For the fact that the Mishnah says, in this case later on, that Heilich Yitziyah Secha, if when the owner of the garden already accepted, he says, okay, fine, I'll deal with your bricks. And then the owner of the wall tells him, no, here are your expenses. And that we said, no, ain't Shemalai now, and the other way, that we don't list him, we don't give him back his bricks anymore. It says the Gemara, Machlal de Paninu Askinan. Obviously, the case that we're discussing over in the Mishnah is that the owner of the garden had already cleared away the bricks. Because that's what he's saying. Here, I'll pay you for your expenses. What expenses? He already went and cleared it away. Now he wants his bricks back. So he says, I'll pay you for your expenses. So obviously he's talking about that the wall was already cleared away. So that has the Gemara, time and dependinu. So it sounds like the reason why that the owner of the wall can't back out anymore, even though he wants to pay him, is because the owner of the garden already cleared him away. But it sounds like had he not cleared away the bricks yet, it would still be where it was, where it fell into his garden. Then the halacha wouldn't be like that. Then we would listen to the owner of the wall, and he would be allowed to take his bricks back, even though he already gave him the offer, saying, here, take it. But even if the guy said, okay, fine, but if he didn't move the bricks, it sounds like that he wouldn't be allowed to that he hold back the owner. The owner would be allowed to take back his bricks, and that has to come on my. Why? But the tiknale sedeyu, let the field of the owner of the garden, let his field acquire for him the bricks from the moment that he accepts that proposition, even though he didn't clear away the bricks. Because the Amr B'Yis Rebbe Chanin, he says, the person's courtyard acquires him without his awareness. If it's something that he likes, that he wants, even without his awareness. So here where he's accepting that proposition, even if he doesn't clear it away, why do we say that then the owner of the bricks who had given the offer could back out? Says the Gemara, Hanemili, when did we say that a person's courtyard will acquire from even without his awareness, if it's something good for him? That's only if the owner of the object is being maknet him, is acquiring it to him, where someone's giving it to him, and he just needs to receive it, his courtyard is an extension of him and could receive it from him if it's something that's good for him, even without his awareness. But here, the owner of the wall who was giving him the bricks actually wasn't being maknet him. He wasn't trying to give it to him. He was just trying to remove himself. He was trying to get out of trying to clean up the mess that he made. But he didn't really want to give it to him. He just wanted someone else to clean up his mess. And therefore, since he didn't really want to give it to him, therefore, if the owner of the garden didn't get clear with the bricks, therefore, then his chatz is not going to be kainalai. Once he himself goes and does an action of Hagbav, picking up the bricks and acquiring it, then it's too late. Then you already acquired it because the owner had told him of that proposition. But regarding the chatz being kainalai, where instead of himself, that's not going to be, that's only if someone is creating the hakna, where the one who's giving it to him would be maknet him. He's not being maknet to him, he's just trying to get away. But if the person himself, the owner of the garden, does the kin himself, then he doesn't need the person to be maknet to him, and then he already acquired it. Now that was one case of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah said a very similar case. Someone hired someone to work for him with straw and stubble, and he said, after the worker worked, he says, so give me my payment. So he says, you know what, take the straw and the stubble that you worked for, take that as your payment. And that says the Mishnah, we don't listen to him. He has to give him the cash that he promised him. But the other way is that once the worker accepted, he said, okay, you know what, I'll take the straw as my payment. And then afterwards he tells him, no, here, take your payment, I want the straw. Oh, then again, we don't listen to him already because he already took it. The worker, he can't back out anymore. So the Gemara says, we need to say both these cases about the wall falling into someone else's garden, where he says, you keep the bricks. And also when he hires a worker and he says, you keep the straw that you picked. Why? Because the Ashmina Lahach Kamaisa. Had we only said the first case of the Mishnah, that of the wall, because then regarding the case when he says, here, you keep the bricks, Ein Shemen Loi, the Mishnah says, no, we don't listen to him. That the guy doesn't have to deal with this guy's bricks. Hey, you clean up your own mess. Is Mishum de Lesli Igrugabe. Is because there's no payment that the owner of the wall owes to the owner of the garden. And moreover, the owner of the garden doesn't want this guy's, quote, gift. Actually, he's ruining his garden because now he can't plant where the bricks fell. So therefore, over there, we say, ain't shame alive. What do you mean? I don't have to listen. Do you want to give me this gift? I don't want it. Take back your bricks and you got to clean it up. Regarding the second case, regarding a worker that went to work with the straw, where the owner owes him his wages for his work. And moreover, the worker is coming to force the owner to pay him his wages. And that is the owner's telling him, here, take this straw for payment for your work. Amos Shemeloi, I would say over there that we listened to him and that he could require the worker to take the straw for his payment. Why? Because the Army Inchilik, people say, Mimari Rashvasech, from your debtor, from the one who owes you money, Pare Ifara, you should take whatever payment, even if it's brand, you take and you run because people, not everyone pays. You got to take whatever he's going to give you. And therefore, we would think that even if he had made up with him cash, but if he's going to give you something, you take what it is. So therefore, if he's telling him to take the straw, he should have to take it. And Shemeloi, that's what you have to say, that even there in Shemeloi, no, he has to pay him regarding what he had made up with him as a pile, which is to pay him the in kesef, in money. And the other way, Viyash min hachad, we only said the second case, that of the worker. So we would say hacha, that regarding here, do we apply the second half of the halacha? The second half of the halacha says that once the recipient, in this case the worker, accepted on him, okay, you know what, I'll keep the straw as the payment. So he said then once the owner wants to back out and get back the straw, ain't shemilei, we don't listen to him back out, we would say that only applies by the worker, because he actually owes him money, and therefore from the moment that the worker accepts that proposition, he already acquired it for the wages that he's owed. But regarding the first case, regarding the wall falling into the other person's garden, he doesn't owe him any money. Amos Shemele, we would say that even after the owner of the garden accepts the proposition and takes the bricks, we would still listen to the original owner of the wall and he could get his bricks back if he wants to pay the expenses that the owner of the garden put in to clean up the bricks. That's what is necessary to say that no, even there we don't listen to him because that person has already acquired it with his courtyard regarding the work that he did and therefore he can't back out anymore. Now the Mishnah said, regarding this case that we're discussing, regarding when he hires a worker to work with the straw, that if he wants to pay him with the straw, that ain't shemeloi. We don't listen to him. He has to go ahead and pay him with money that he had made up for a worker. Now that the Gemara asked, but tell you, when the Braisa, that seems to clearly contradict this, and it says shemeloi, that we do listen to him, and that is if he tells the worker, here, take what you worked with as your wages instead of me paying you money, he has to accept that thing that he worked with, like say in the case of the Mishnah of Kash and Tevin, if he tells him here, you know, take what you worked for as your wages, he has to take that. So what's halacha? Like our Mishnah, the ancient Melo, or like the Braisa says, Shemel Loi. Some Rav Nachman says, Loi Kash. It's not a difficulty, it's not a contradiction. Why? Khan, our Mishnah is talking about that Bishaloi, where the worker was working in whose straw? It was the owner's straw, and he had him working in his own straw. There is where he says that he hired a regular laborer. That is, as we had explained from Rashi in the Mishnah, that says, Baltol and Scharai, you got to pay what you had made up, which is money, nothing else. But Khan, Bishal Chaveroi, the Bryce is talking about where he had hired him to work in someone else's field, in someone else's straw. Oh, there we listened to him because, actually, as Taisa points out, that it wouldn't even be that he would have to make him take the straw, because actually, he hired him to work in someone else's field with someone else's straw. He actually can't give him that person's straw. What it means to say essentially is that he could tell him, take whatever you want, but I'm not paying for you because you didn't work for me. So since it was with someone else's straw, he could tell him, I'm not going to pay you. That's why there's a difference between the two cases. And that's why Shemel, like, we tell him, we listen to him, and he says, look, you know, take whatever you can get because I'm not paying you. Now that, Omalei Rabbi Rav Nachman, that's so Rabbi asked Rav Nachman on this answer. He says, wait a second. B'shaloi my taimo. How do you explain the halacha of the Mishnah? Why is it that when he had him working with his own straw, ain't shemeloi, we don't listen to him when he wants to tell him to pay his, to take his wages with the straw that he worked with? Is because the amalei agra lach, because the worker could tell him, your payment is on me. That is, you owe me money. Now, on that as the Gemara, b'shal chaveri nami schari lach, but regarding when he works in someone else's straw, he had hired him to work with someone else's straw, there the same halacha is that he could tell him that you owe me money. because the Tanya learned the Braisa that says, Aseichas apoyal lasad b'shalayv. Someone hires a worker to work with his own stuff. But v'herei b'shal chaver, he ends up showing him someone else's stuff to work with. So he's actually working now in someone else's field. Says the Braisa, noisin leischar mishalm, he has to pay him his full wages. And v'chayzer v'noitl mebalabais, mashahano, I say, then the one who hired him, although he has to pay the worker the full wages that he made up, then he could go collect from whatever he benefited the homeowner that he had him work for whatever he benefited him. So he could get some remuneration for what he paid the worker. But he has to pay the worker the full wages. So how are you answering that the case of the Braisa went Shoyim Aloy, that he doesn't have to pay him what he made up with him, actually doesn't even have to give him anything because he didn't work for him, he worked in someone else's straw. See, in the Braisa clear, not like that. That even if it's someone else's straw field, he has to pay him the regular wages. So why do we say over there Shoyim Aloy? So Elam Rav Nachman rather says a different approach. It says, Loi Kasha, Kan Bishaloi, like we said before, the case of a Mishnah is when he's working with his own straw, meaning for the employer's straw. Kan Bishal Hefker. Here in the Braisa we're talking about when they told him, see that ownerless straw? No one owns that? I want you to work for me in that straw. That's Rav Nachman says, that's where we shoymin loy, we listen to the employer who says, you go and acquire that now for your wages. Now the reason for this is because when the worker was working with that straw, he did not acquire it for the employer, for the landowner, for the owner who hired him. Now this is, Rashi points out, Rav Nachman goes according to his opinion that he mentions in the beginning of the Masechta of Yudim and Aleph, that he says, if someone picks up a lost object for someone else, so although it's ownerless, and he's picking it up for that other person has not acquired it. So it comes out that when he's working with the straw, and he's picking it up and gathering it, and the person he's working for has not acquired it yet. So it comes out that he's not really his worker, because he's not working for him. It's not his, even. And therefore, there is no Baal Talin, and therefore it's not included in Baal Talin's Scharoi. They have to pay him exactly what you made up for him. In contrast, Rashi points out, if he tells him to work Besodah Shel Chaveiro, someone else's straw, then you can't say, Zochi Be'at, you go ahead and you acquire it, because it's not Hefker. And therefore, by default, since he didn't tell him that the owner of that person's straw that you're working for is going to pay you, by default, he's essentially saying as a guarantor that he's going to pay him. And therefore, that's why the responsibility, like the Braisa says, is even Bishal Chaveir. But here, by Hefker, it's not like that. Here, by Hefker, it's nobody's. And therefore, though he told him to work for it, he says, okay, it's nobody's. You weren't working for me until I actually acquire it. And therefore, go ahead and use that, the straw that you gathered, as your wages. And therefore, over there, it is Shem Aloy. On this second teretz, the Gemara, Rava continues to ask. And this is Esri Rava, Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman from the following Braisa. Now, what Rava's question essentially is, as we'll see in the Braisa, is that he wants to say that a worker is not included in how Rav Nachman wants to categorize the explanation of the Braisa as a Magbi Metzila Chaver. As Rashi had explained, Rav Nachman was basing on his principle in Daf Yudam and Aleph that if someone's like being mitzil chaver, something from Hefker, loy kana chaver, the person he's picking up for has not acquired it, and therefore until he has acquired it, he wasn't really working for him. And that Rebbe wants to point out from the Braisa that by a worker it's not like that. To the contrary, a worker is always considered like the yad, an extension of the balabayas, and therefore the moment that he picks it up, the owner has picked it up, even if he didn't tell me that. In other words, even if he tells me just I want you to work for me. And for all the more so in this case, we actually hired him to pick up the ownerless items. For sure, over there, the balabais are going to be acquiring it from the moment the worker picks it up. As the Braisa says, Mitzias Poyla Atzmai. So the Braisa says that when a worker picks up a lost object, he could keep it. Now, qualifies the Braisa. Emma said, when did we say this? Bisman Sha'amale Balabais. That's if the homeowner had hired him for a specific job. So anything that's not that specific job, he's not working for the employer. So let's say he tells him, Nachesh Emihayim, I want you to weed for me today. Oy, other Emihayim, I want you to plow for me today. So whenever he's not doing that, let's say he's picking up a lost object, so then he gets to keep it for himself. Aval, but says the Braisim, Amaloy Asei Emimalochayim, but if he tells him, I want you to work for me today, whatever work it is, I'm paying you for the day, you'll work for me. Says the Braisim, Mitzi Asei Labalabayis, then even a lost object that the worker picks up, it goes to the employer that's hiring him. So says Rava, if when you hire in general a worker, not to pick up a lost object, but it's in general to work, then the balabais is acquiring it automatically. So here in this case of the Braisa, when he's hiring to work and pick up Hefker Kash, isn't a kavachemah that for sure it's going to go to the balabais? So how can you understand that? And then it's essentially like shaloi, like explained Allah of the Mishnah, and then it's a back of contradiction. It should be ain shemalai, not like the Braisa says, a shemalai. So Elam Rav Nachman, rather Rav Nachman says a third approach. to resolve the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. It says, like Kasha, it's not a difficulty. Actually, both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about that the Kash that he's working for, not like we had explained up until now in the Mishnah that it's Shalai, they're both talking about Shal Hefker. They're ownerless straw, no one owns it, and they told him to go ahead and work for him. Now, but Khan in our Mishnah, when they hired him to gather the straw and the stubble, was Behagbah, was that he had asked a worker to pick it up for him. Now, Hagbah is a kinyan where someone acquires it. So there, as we said, yes, the yad of the pile is kiyad balabai. So the moment that the worker picks it up, it's already the balabai, and therefore he's working for him. Now, but Khan, in the case of the Braisa, he had hired him to work bahabata, by just looking at the straw. What do you mean just looking? Either to watch it, or actually to throw it down from a higher area to a lower land where there's no hagbo, you're not picking it up, you're actually pushing it down, where then the employer could say, well, I have not yet acquired it yet. Therefore, it's not mine. You haven't really been working for me. And therefore, you could go ahead and be zeichin it. And therefore, that's why the halacha is going to be shem eloi. But in contrast, by even hefker, if it's something that he has to pick up, then he's kind of bagba, then the balabai is kind of, that's the halacha of the Mishnah that ain't shem eloi, because he's like working for him, and then you got to pay him as a regular payel, which is scharoi, the amount of the exact type of wage that you made up with him, which was money and not with something else like straw. Now, however, the Gemara says that actually this answer of Nachman that wants to differentiate between the Mishnah and the Braisa regarding if it was actually picking up the straw, just looking at the straw, that by looking on the straw, the worker has not acquired it, hence the Balabais has not acquired it, and therefore he could tell him, look, you haven't been working for me yet, and you can go ahead and take the straw for your wages. Amar Rabbah, he says actually that Habata behefker tanohi, looking at something that's hefker, let's say watching it, it's actually machlokes tanoim if that would be a kinyan or not. So Rav Nachman's answer was based on the approach of the Braisa, in the case of the Braisa, that Abbot is not Kaina, and that Rabbi says actually Machlekes Tanoim. That's not like the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim. Shomrei Svichei Shviyas, regarding those who are hired to be guardians, watchmen, for the aftergrowths of the Shemitah year, where in Shemitah there is not that much produce because you're not allowed to plant, so there's the aftergrowth, where to see whatever remnants there are that grew by themselves, whether to they're hired for the Beis HaMikdash for barley, because that has to be used for the carbon omer, which is a barley offering, and you need to be able to have from that year's produce, or that of wheat, which is for the Shtei Alechem and Shavuos. So you have to find something that grew that year, so you have to hire watchmen that if they find something, that, oh, protect this, because we need to use this as the carbon mincha. So that says the Mishnah regarding those who have these jobs, Neitlin schar and betrumas alishka. So they take their wages from the trumas alishka. The lishka is the place where the Beis HaMikdash is the chamber where they put in all the trumas, which everyone has to give every year a machzah shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. But the karbanis, so from those trumas which are separated from that lishka, which are used for the karbanis, he gets his wages because this is also essentially for the requirements of the karbanis. Now, Rabbi Yisim, he says that actually, although these shomrim get paid from the Trumas Alishka, but Haraitza, if somebody wants to, Misnadev hu v'shem echinim, he can donate and do this freely, and he can be a shem echinim, he can watch it for free without getting paid. So he could do a favor to the Hekdash, to the Beis HaMikdash, and not charge. He could watch it for free. Amrulay, and that, the Tanna Kamma, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Yisim, Ato Omer Kein, you say that? If we would listen to you, ain't boy Mishal Tzibur. Then the Karban Omer and the Shtei HaLechem are not going to be coming from the Tzibur, which all the Karbanis have to be coming from the public at large. Rather, it's going to be coming from an individual. Because this guy who's watching it has acquired it with his watching. By his watching it, he has acquired it. Now it's his. Now when they're going to use it to bring it as a Karban Omer or Karban Shtei HaLechem, it's not coming from the Tzibur, it's coming from this guy who's a Shomer. That's the Machlokes. Says Rabbah, my Labba HaKamifligi, isn't this what they're disagreeing about? The Tanakama Savar Habat Behefker Kani. The Tanakama holds that just by looking at it, by watching it, he's acquired it from Hefker. And the reason is, since it's something that requires effort, and his intention is for that, and it's through him that's being watched, and therefore, he's acquired it. That's why the Chacham were telling Rabbi Yisi, V'yahavi le'agra in, that only if we pay him, then we can go ahead, because then we're buying it from him, and we're buying it in the name of the Tzibur. But if we don't, if he's doing it for free, like Rabbi Yisi had entertained, that's Rabbi Yisi's opinion, then they said, then the problem is, then it's coming from him, because he acquired it by just watching it. Rabbi Yisi Savar, Habata Behefker Leikani. Whereas Rabbi Yisi said, no, just looking at something in Hefker, you haven't acquired it. And therefore, Vechi Azli Tzibra Maisi. Therefore, when although they watch it, when the Tzibra, meaning the representatives of the Tzibra, which are the Gizbarim of Hektish, when they come and they take it, Hashta Hodukazachabeth, now that they're acquiring it, and therefore it is coming from the Tzibra. Therefore, Rabbi Yisi had no problem where he could watch it for free. He doesn't have to get paid, so to speak, to get transferred from his ownership because he doesn't own it. So therefore, that's how Rabbah translated this, actually the Machlekes. Now, he explains, so if so, Uma'ata Oimer, so what was this that they said to Rabbi Yisi? Oh, is that what you say? But then you're not going to have the carbon being brought from the Shal Tzibah, but it's not true. We just explained that Rabbi Yisi holds that actually the Shemer is not kainit by just watching it. So what's the problem if, according to Rabbi Yisi, it's going to be brought as a Shemer Chinam? It will be Mishal Tzibah. That says, Rabbah, Hochi Kamrili. No, this is what the Chacham had said to Rabbi Yisi. Midvarecha, from your opinion, if we would follow you, who you say that he doesn't have to be paid for what he's watching, Lidvareinu, if we followed your opinion, according to our opinion, that we say that Habata Behefker is coming, by just looking at it, he has acquired it, then Ein Oimer B'Shtei Alechem Boi Mishal Tzibah. Then these two karbanas that come from the grain are not going to be coming from the Tzibah because since he's not getting paid, so we're not transferring his ownership to us by paying him, and he has acquired it by just watching it, and then it's going to be coming from a yachid, not from a shal tzibur. That's how Rabbah interprets it, that they're disagreeing regarding this concept of habata, if it's from hefka, if you're kain or not. Amar Rabbi says, loy no. The kuli amah habata behefka kani, says that actually you could say that everyone holds by just looking at something and watching it, you have acquired it. Now, so what's the reason of Rabbi Yisi? Then seemingly it is being coming from a shal yachid if we're not paying him to buy off what he has. Because Rabbi Yisi holds that a person could give, and he does give it over wholeheartedly to the Tzibur, and it comes out that it is coming from the Tzibur, because although they don't pay him, but he's giving it to them. Now, so what's the machlekes? The machlekes is, are we concerned that he's not going to give it over wholeheartedly to the Tzibur? The Rabbanan Tzavri Yavin Le'igri, the Rabban who said we have to pay him, and if not, Cheshin and Shemalai, we're concerned that maybe it's not going to be in his heart to be Yimsurim Yafa Yafa, to give it over with a full heart to the Tzibur, because he wants it to be brought from his own. I want all the rights. I should know that the Karban Oimer, Karban Shalechem, is brought from my own stuff. So we're concerned for that. We have to buy it off, therefore they say. We have to pay him. Whereas Rabbi Yisi said, but Cheshin and Shemalai Yimsurim Yafa Yafa. Whereas Rabbi Yisi was not concerned that maybe he's not going to give it over. A guy will give it over. He knows the Karban's only kosher if it comes from the Shal Tzibur, and therefore we're not concerned for that. Now, therefore, according to Rava's interpretation of Ma'ato Emre, what was this that the Chacham had said to Rabbi Yisi that, oh, do you really say this? Why not? He's not concerned that the person's not going to give it over, but Lev Yafa. So, Hachikamalei, this is what they were telling him. Midvarecha, from your opinion that you say that he should be allowed to watch it for free, and as we explained, everyone agrees that he's then going to be acquiring it by even just watching it. But then according to our opinion, if we follow your opinion and our opinion, the Chashina Shemalim Sum Yafa Yafa, then we're concerned that maybe he's not going to give it over, and we know he's acquired it according to even you, that he's not going to give it over with a full heart to the Tzibur. It's going to come out that the Karban Oimer and the Shtei Alechem are coming from the Tzibur, and therefore we need to pay him. That's the second approach. Now, Ikidami, that those that say that actually Rav Amar the other way around. Rav says, that actually we could say that both actually hold that by just look at something from Hefker, you have not acquired it. But what are they disagreeing about? Regarding if we're concerned about for people that are ruffians, people that are strong arms, that because if we don't have the word go out that these grains that are being watched are owned by Hektish, then Bal Yisrael are going to come and forcefully take it because there's not that much grain around because of the Shemitah year. They're going to come and take it for themselves. So the Machlek is the Tanakam Asavir. Tanakama held that Takina Rabban Lamesabli Arbazuth. The Rabban instituted that he should be paid 4 zuz. He should be paid. Why? Kihicha de Lashami Balazrois, Valifishuminai, so that the rough type of people should hear and separate. Oh, Hektish, Beis HaMikdash, okay, they're not going to mess. Some guy, some regular homeowner, they'll go and take it away from him. So therefore, they said he has to be paid. And the reason why he has to be paid is so that they know that this is Hektish's thing. Rabbi Yisrael said, Valik Takina, whereas Rabbi Yisrael said, no, they don't have to institute it. We're not concerned for that. As a Katintam with Beis, so what is this that the Chacham said, do you say that he shouldn't be paid? That, and if that's the case, then it's not going to become a Shal Tzibur? What do you mean? We just said that everyone agrees, even the Chacham, according to this version of Rava, that the Shomer has not been kainit. So where is there going to be an element? So Good. The Chacham are concerned that Bal Yisrael are going to come take it away. But what does it have to do with Karban that's not being brought in the Shaltzibur? Everyone agrees he has not acquired it by just watching it. And that says the Gemara Hocha Kamalei. This is what they were telling him. Midvarecha, based on your opinion that you say that he could watch it even for free, Lidvareinu, according to our opinion, that we hold that the Chacham were Mesakin, that he should be paid for Zuz from the Truma, which goes to the Shemri Svichim, to those who watch it after growths. Now, but if you're going to allow him, and we say that's what they instituted, that he has a certain amount of the money that he should be paid for this. Now, but if he's going to follow your practice, and he's going to say, no, it's okay, I don't need to take the four zuzim that you need. I want to do this favor for Hekdesh, for the Beis HaMikdash. So it's going to come out that there is in the Trumas HaLishka four zuzim, which the Tzibur has no rights to because it's really earmarked and owned by him. So if they're going to go ahead now and take from the Trumas HaLishka, which are the portions that they take off in three different boxes from this chamber that they used to buy the Karban Tamid and the Mekar Musaf and all the other Karban Tzibur, it's going to come out that Ain, that this Karban Tamid is not a Boeing Mishal Tzibur. It's not coming from Mishal Tzibur because those four Zuzim are possibly the four Zuzim that are owned and earmarked for the Shomer, which he's not taking, which is left over there, but it's really his money, and therefore it's going to run into that problem. Not for the Karban Mincha and the Omer, and not for the Karban Omer and the Shtei Alechem, but rather for the other Karbonis, which is not taking the money from the Trumas HaLishka. And says the Gemara, V'chein ki asa ravin, Amar B'yechin, he also says, Cheshon Bal Yisrael, Zeke B'nayu, the Machlekes between Tanakam and Rabbi Yisi was like the second version of Rava, which was regarding Bal Yisrael. Are we concerned that we have to pay him, that people find out, don't touch this, this guy's getting paid for watching that of Hekdesh, but if he wouldn't get paid, the people wouldn't know about that this is something of Hekdesh, and maybe they might come to take it, and we need to protect it for the Karban Mincha and the Shtei Alechem, and the Karban Omer and the Shtei Alechem of the Shemitah year. Now the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which spoke about the person's wall or his tree that falls into Rosh Hashanah and causes damage. So this Mishnah continues on the similar vein regarding causing damages in the Rosh Hashanah in the public domain. So the Mishnah says, Hamoiti zevel Rosh Hashanah. If someone takes out fertilizer, which is from the animal dung, and he takes it out to the public domain, so Hamoiti maiti v'amazabel mazabel. So the one who takes it out, and the one who uses it for fertilizer, uses it for fertilizer. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying is that he's not going to leave it over there. Rather, the one who takes it out from his barn to the Rosh Hashanah has to be ready that the one who's taking it to use it to fertilize for his garden or for his field has to be ready to take it right away. So you could drop it off for a second, but it has to go right out. So too, says the Mishnah, ain't sharing tit b'Rosh Hashanah. A person is not allowed to soak clay in the public domain because there were places that they would soak it for many days in one big pile. So you're not allowed to use the Rosh Hashanah for that soaking of the clay. And so too, ain't levnim levenim. You're not allowed to go ahead and build bricks, because there also the process requires to leave it there for some time to dry up, because what they would do is that you take the clay and spread it on the ground on a very smooth area, the dimensions of the brick, and then you carve out inside the holes, which are the length and the width of the measurement of the brick, and they would leave it there until it dries up. That's how they make it out of clay. So neither can you make bricks in Rosh Hashanah. Of a Gleivlin tit Rosh Hashanah, but you could knead the clay in the public domain if you're going to put it right away into the building. But not for bricks, because the bricks again takes a while, so even that part of the process you can't do in the Rosh Hashanah. So too says the Mishnah, someone's building in the public domain. The one that brings the bricks, brings it, and the one who builds it. Again, you have to go straight from the guy who brings it and put it into the building. Now, Vim Hizik, regarding all these things that although you're allowed to do it, but it has to be quick, but if there's any damages that come from this, Mishal Masha Hizik has to pay for what he had caused, for the damages, even for what he's allowed to do in the Rosh Hashanah, for causes damage, he's liable. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel, I mean, he says that actually not. He's actually not liable for his damages. And moreover, he says, af, so he's saying, even, misakanu es malachtai, he could prepare his work, meaning he could even prepare and have it in the public domain, lefnei shleishim yom, even 30 days before. So he's arguing on two points. First of all, he's saying that no. He's obviously saying no, because he's saying even a bigger chiddush, saying, you said you could only do it right away. He's saying you could even have the bricks prepared 30 days before and leave it in the Rosh Hashanah. And when he's saying af, what's af? Even not only that he's going to be exempt regarding what you had said, but even if he had it 30 days before, he's still going to be exempt from any damages that he caused in the Rosh Hashanah, because since he's allowed to do it in the Rosh Hashanah, he's not liable for the damages that it causes. Says the Gemara, Le masnit like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's say our mission is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because the time learned the Braisa. Behuda, I mean, he says, at the time of the year when they take out the fertilizer. So Adam Maitzi Zivala Lutras Ram, a person could take out the excrement, the fertilizer, to the public domain. The Tzaivir Kal Shleishim Yemen, he could have it piled up for 30 days, meaning every 30 days he could go back and pile it again. So that can be stepped on by people and by animals, because that helps it turn into a good fertilizer. It was for that intention that Yeshua had given over the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael to the people, where they have this rights to put their fertilizer in the public domain, to have people step in it, to have it for that processing. So you see clearly that he says you could have out the fertilizer for 30 days, and Amishle said you cannot, but you said you bring it out and it has to go right away somewhere else. Says the Gemara, no, fill Tamer Behuda. We could say the Talmud Mishnah is even like a Behuda. But Maidir Behuda, Behuda agrees, Shem Hizik Chayav Lashala. If it causes damage, as the Talmud of our Mishnah had said, even when you're allowed to do things, then you're going to be liable to pay. So essentially, our Mishnah is just giving good counsel and saying, don't become liable in damages. So bring it out and have it taken right away. You're right. Our Mishnah could be like a Behuda that you're allowed to leave it out for 30 days. But don't, because you're going to be liable for damages, and therefore go ahead and take it out right away. So therefore, it could be like a Behuda. On that has to come up, but for Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, which the Bach amends the Girsa, then it would match a Mishnah at the end of Hakoinis and Baba Kama. Now, the Mishnah is talking about regarding a storekeeper who had left his candle outside his store. And then the camel that was full with flax walked by in the street, and the flax lit on fire from the storekeeper's candle, and then because of that, it lit up the whole building on fire, which this is brought in Baba Kama of Samach Bezim Abeis. So on that, the owner of the store is going to be liable for having his candle outside. On that says the Mishnah, but Major Behuda b'ner Chanukah. Behuda agrees that if it's a candle of Chanukah for the Yom Tov of Chanukah, shehu mepater, that then the owner of the store, although he had the candle on the outside, which caused the camel's flax to come on fire and burn down the whole building, the owner of the candle is going to be exempt. Because he does with permission, that you're supposed to light your candle outside the house where everyone can see it. Since he did it with permission, he's going to be exempt. So ask the Gemara, my love, Rishus the Bezin. Isn't it what permission? It's with the court's permission. So obviously, anything that the court gives a person permission to do, if it causes damage, he's going to be exempt, which is not like our Mishnah. You want to say who does like our Mishnah, because although he allows it for 30 days, and our Mishnah makes it sound like it's not. No, he allows it. It's just saying don't do it, because if you do it, you're going to be chayv. But if the court lets you, where, as we're saying, that's what Yeshua had instituted, that you're allowed to have it out for 30 days, then Rabbi Huda, as we see from the Mishnah, if you're allowed to do something, you're exempt. So how could you be like the Mishnah, which is saying you shouldn't, because then you'll be chayiv, if we say you'll be pot? Says, so, Allah, he reshus the mitzvah. No, it's not anything that the court lets you to do. Even the things that the courts, like Yeshua, the Bezdin, they let you to do it, you could be chayiv, and therefore Rabbi Huda could be like our Mishnah. In that Mishnah, Baba Kama, that he says you're going to be potter because you have reshus, it's the reshus of a mitzvah. It's because Hashem tells you to do it. Hashem tells you to do it, that's the mitzvah, then you're going to be potter. But reshus of Bezdin could be that you'll be chayiv, so even though you're allowed to take out your fertilizer for 30 days, you could be chayiv, and therefore the Mishnah is giving you eight sativa, just take it out and put it back away somewhere else right away. But still the Gemara asks, but Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, it says, Kol Elu Sha'amar, regarding all these that they said, meaning all these types of things that could cause damage, that the Chum said a person has permission to do them. And they said, Mutarin lekalkel b'rishus harabim, you're allowed to go ahead and ruin the public domain and to throw all your stuff there. So for example, like the case of Rabbi Huda, of putting out your fertilizer. Or like the halacha that they could empty their gutters or all their places where they keep all the waste matter when it's in the winter months, as the Gemara Baba Kama Davav says that the Chacham gave permission for the people to do that. Says the Braisa, Im Hizik Chayav L'Shalom. So the Tanna Kama says, if it causes damage, although you're allowed to, but he's going to have to pay if it causes damages. On that, Rabbi Huda Pait, Rabbi Huda says, no, since you have Rishus, which Rishus? Rishus of Bezin, they're going to be Potter. So you see, that's not like the Halacha of our Mishnah, which says that you're going to be Chayav, because we want to say, oh, Rabbi Huda is like the Tanna of our Mishnah. Although the Mishnah says you're not allowed to, no, really allowed to, it's just giving you Eitz HaTayva. What's Eitz HaTayva? Although you could have it out for 30 days, but if you do, you'll be chayiv, so don't. But we see clearly Rabbi Huda cannot be that opinion, because he says that if you're allowed to, then you're going to be potter. So the Gemara LeMechvat, rather, it's clear, Masnitin like Rabbi Huda. Obviously, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Huda, and yes, although the Mishnah, we could even say now that holds is actually usser, but Rabbi Huda holds that it's going to be mutter and even potter if to have it out for 30 days, your fertilizer in the Rishus HaRab. So Amar Abaye says, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Kulu Svirluhu. They all hold to this concept that Kol Mokum Shenosn LeChacham Rishus BeHizik Potter. If the sages, if the Chacham, if the Bezin, if the rabbis gave permission for a person to do something, and it causes damage, then he's going to be pater because he did it with rights. So the explanation is Rabbi Huda Hadamar. Rabbi Huda is like we just quoted him before. That he says if you're allowed to do something like all these things to be mekalgam shosarabim, if it causes damage, then you're going to be pater. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is ditan. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is that which we learned in our Mishnah, because the Mishnah said Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. He said, and as we alluded to this in the explanation of the Mishnah, that he said af. He's going in the words of the Tanna Kamma. Tanna Kamma says, oh, im hizik mishalim. Although you're allowed to have it after certain things, but if it causes damage, he's going to have to pay. And that says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, no. Moreover, af misakenu es malach de lefnei shleishim yom. Not only that, but actually, even if he has it at 30 days before, even then he's allowed to, and that is he's going to be pater. So you see again, because he says that since you're allowed to, you're going to be pater. And the third opinion, Rabbi Shimon is ditnan. Rabbi Shimon is like we learned in the Mishnah, which is the Mishnah of Baba Basra, Perek Lo Yachper, that talks about the halacha, the person not allowed to put an oven, a tanner, in his house, unless he has the airspace on top of the oven, a height of 4 amas from the opening of the oven to the ceiling. Where the Mishnah teaches us that Hayimamid Baliyah, let's say he was bringing a tanner into his house in the second story. So then there's another requirement. It has to be underneath the oven, which is the floor that he has to be a layer of plaster of at least 3 tefachim. Well, Bekira, regarding the Kira oven, which is not as large and not as a large fire as a tanner, then tefach, then you have to have at least a layer of plaster underneath it of a tefach. Now, says the Mishnah, Vim Hizik, now let's say he went through all those precautions and still the house lit up on fire and burnt all the surrounding areas, the surrounding houses, because of his oven. Says the Tanna Kamma, Mishal Mash Hizik, he has to pay what he caused damage. Although he was allowed to, but now he caused the damage. On that, Rabbi Shimon Emi says, Lo Amru Kol Hashirim Halolo, they didn't say all these measurements, to have the clearance of 4 amas on top, to have a layer of plaster of 3 tefachim, 1 tefach below, Ela Shem Hizik, Patim Elisham, only to tell us that since he has Rishus, that's the dimensions that they let him, that even there he's going to be exempt from paying. So we see again the same concept as Rabbi Huda over here, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that if something that the courts let, and then it causes damage, he's going to be Patim Elisham. Continuing on this theme of our Mishnah regarding liability for different damages, so Tanya Rabbanan, learn the Braisa. Hachatzav is someone that quarries. He's the one that cuts the bricks from the mountain to take it out from where it's attached to the mountain. Shemasa Lasasas. Now, there's a whole production line. How do you get it from the rocks from the mountain to actually end up putting in the building? So the one who's chatzav, who breaks off the bricks from the mountain, shemas lasasas, if he gives it over to the one who chisels it, he squares it out and smooths it out to become bricks. Once it's by the sasas, and then something happens, sasasas chayav. So then the one who has it now in his possession, who's the one who chisels it, he's going to be liable. Hasasas shemas lachamor. Then when the one who finished squaring out the bricks gives it over to the donkey driver, who he's the one who carries it from the mountain where it was chiseled away, and then he goes and he actually, as we'll see, he gives it over to the katav, who is the porter who actually transports it by his shoulders, who he then stretches it out and gives it to the banai, who is the builder, who he's standing over there by the place of the wall, which is made for the place where the craftsmen walk. So if it's given over to the donkey driver, hachamar chayev. So the donkey driver is chayev. Now, hachamar shemas lekatav, if the donkey driver already gave it over to the porter, the one who carries it on the shoulder to bring the bricks, hakatav chayv, then he'll be liable. Hakatav shemas lebanai, if the porter already gave it over to the builder, habanai chayv, he'll be chayv. Habanai shemas leadrichel, then when the builder gives it over to the adrichel, who he's the head of all the craftsmen, who he's the one that's particular to find out the placing of the brick, to make it exactly where it's supposed to be, that it shouldn't lean or sink in any area, and it shouldn't reach out further from where the wall is, where he has a special instrument that he uses to make sure it's exactly straight how the wall is supposed to be. So the builder already gave it to the Adrichel, who he placed it down. So Adrichel chayv. So at that point in time, the Adrichel would be liable. So essentially what the Brisa had set up at this point is that the one who has it in his hand at that point in time, he's going to be liable for the damages. Whether if, let's say, the brick fell from his hand and damaged others, or if, let's say, the brick fell and the brick broke, the one who had it at that point in time, starting all the way from the chatzav, each person along the assembly line, whoever happened to damage by him, he'll be liable to pay. Now, as Rashi points out, although ultimately the Gemara is going to explain this brisa that's talking about by kablonis, which all the participants of this building job are all partners in this work, still the only one who has who had it at that moment is going to be chayiv, because since it was through his force that the damage happened, so it's going to be his responsibility, whatever it is that he caused. Because as the Mishnah tells us in Baba Kama, adam ud la'ilam, a person is always liable, whether it's by mistake or deliberately or beyond his control or willingly. Whereas it's learned from a pasuk, a petza techas patsa to michayiv ashegi gemeza in his karatzin. So therefore, whoever was the one that when he was having it broke or caused damage, he's going to be liable. Now, but continues the brayse b'menich evin al adimus vezika. But if let's say the adrichel was the last part in this process, he already put it on the dimus, which is the wall that's being built, and only afterwards did it fall and cause damage or break. Then kulon, then all of them, meaning all these individuals that we had mentioned so far, who are all partners in this work, in the moment that the brick is put onto this dimus, which again is the row of the building of the wall, and it falls and it causes damage, since it wasn't through the force or the possession of the adrichel, because it was already after that he put it down that it fell, so that we cannot make him liable because of what's called giri delay, his arrows, as if it was because of him, then actually all of them are going to be chiyav and l'shalom. Then they're all going to have to pay because of the damages, because they're all partners in this, and it's the building is incumbent upon all of them, because they all accept responsibility for the damages together. Now, on that last halacha, asked the Gemara, but Tanya in the Brisa, it says, Achrin Chayiv, that actually only the last one who had possession of it, which was the Adrichel, who he was the last one to touch it, who put it down the wall, that he's going to be liable for Kulam Batur, and they're all going to be exempt. Says the Gemara, like Kasha, it's not difficulty. Kan Bistchiris, the Brisa is talking about when each one is not a Kablin, they're not accepting the Kablin as someone that they're getting paid for the job. So they're all in this, and they're going to get their shares from the building after it's done. So, but then there's something called schiris, when he gets paid per hour for doing his job. So here in the Brayis, talking about schiris, so then the last one's going to be chayv because he's the last one that touched him. When you're getting paid for your job, this is the moment you finish that half hour or whatever it is that you're doing, so then you're done with already, and you have no responsibility for anything that happens after that. So therefore, the last one who touched it, it's going to be his responsibility. Bekam bekablonis. But regarding the first Brayis that we said, is talking about where they had accepted the responsibility of the job, they're all going to be liable, because since it didn't fall from the hand of one of them, then it's the responsibility on all of them to watch the building, that it should be set very well, because each one essentially did his job. So although, let's say, the Adrichel was the last one to touch it, but it could be someone didn't chisel it right, or it could be all these different factors, and they all accept responsibility, therefore they're all going to be chayiv. Nothing more continues with the theme of this Perik, which is Abayis V'Aliyah, which the first floor and the second floor, so too, says this Mishnah, a similar case of Shtei Ginei Zu Al Gav Zu, when there's two gardens, one on top of the other. Now, although that's not possible like a building, but it's that they're near each other. It's just that one of them is on higher ground, and the one next to it is on lower ground. So essentially, it's like one on top of the other in regards to height. Now, V'Hayerik Bein Tayim. Now, there are vegetables growing out from the land in between them, meaning from the height that there is, if one would think of like steps, then the side of the ground where one is higher than the other, there's garlic or onions growing out from the side of that earth. So there's a machlikis in the Mishnah. Remeir or Mishal Elyon. Remeir says that those vegetables belong to the owner of the upper field, of the upper garden, because essentially it's his earth, and it's nourishing and getting its forest from his earth. Behuda Mishal Tachni, Behuda says no, it actually belongs to the lower field, the lower garden's property, because it's in his airspace, where that's where it's coming out, into his airspace. Amr Meir said to Behuda, he says, wait a second. Im Yirtzah Elyon Likiches Afar, if the upper garden wanted to take away all his earth, in Kanyerik, there wouldn't be any vegetables over here because it's growing out of his earth. So he took it away, it wouldn't exist, obviously it's his. On that, Behuda says, wait a second. Im Yirtzah Tachlal Mal says Ginasi, if the lower garden wanted to fill up his garden with earth to equal the airspace of the upper garden, which he has the right to, in Kanyarik, there wouldn't be any vegetables because it would be then submerged in the ground, which would be by his field. So Amar Meir Meir says, so you're right. Since each one has a right to protest against the other one, meaning that to say that the vegetables shouldn't be over here because the upper one could take away his earth and the bottom one can fill up his garden with earth, meaning the upper one could take away his earth and the bottom one could fill up with earth, so they both have tainus like we saw in the Mishnah. So it concludes with Meir, it's a roin mehechin yerek zechai. So we see, although each one could protest, so that's not going to help because each one could. So we see, so where are the vegetables growing from? So the place where it nourishes and grows from, that's the one that you give it to, and therefore goes to the Elyon. On that, Reb Shimon, he says, no. Kol she'elyon yochel lifshed es yod debelita. He agrees to the principle of our mayor, but he says, wherever the upper field could reach his hand, stretch out his hand and reach and get, because it's below his field, he has to reach over, then harei ushaloi, then it's going to be his, like Reb Meir says, because you're right, since it is growing from his earth. But v'ashar shel techtim, on that says Reb Shimon, but the rest, which he can't reach, that belongs to the lower garden's property. The reason for that is because even the upper garden owner himself will be mafkir to that person, because it's embarrassing for him to have to get permission to come into his field to gather his vegetables which are growing in the wall of the earth, which is between the two of them. And therefore, if he could reach and get it, see, right, that belongs to him. Anything below that, that he's not going to come and ask, oh, could I get my things which are growing in your garden space, in your airspace? And therefore, he leaves it for him, and that goes to the bottom garden for a person. Now, Amar Rava, he explains the halacha of our Mishnah. He says, "Bi'ikarei, with the roots of the vegetables, kula amalei pligi de'elyon havi." He says, no one disagrees that that belongs to the upper garden, because that's actually where it's in submerged. Actually, the roots are in his earth. Ki pligi b'neifei. Says Rava, when their homachlikis was regarding the part that comes out, which is the when we call the branches or the foliage, because since they're hanging in the airspace of the lower garden, that was where the machlekes was. Where Rav explains the logic is that Remeir Saver Shadi Naifi Basei Kar. Remeir held that no, you project the outer part from the primary part from the root. So therefore, since the Iker, we said everyone agrees, belongs to the upper one. So it says Remeir, the same thing applies to the Naifi, to the part that branches out from the root. Also, then belongs to where it's nourishing from, which is to the upper garden. But Yehuda said that no, we don't say that we place the branch to the root, and we see it as an independent item. The Sharashim, you're right, everyone agrees it belongs to the Elyon. But the Naifa, since it's in the airspace of the lower one, then says Reb Shimon, that will go to the person on the, says Reb Yehuda, to the person on the lower field. Says the Gemara Vazel Tamayu, and they go according to their opinion. The time like we learned in the Brisa, meaning Reb Shimon was the one who had made that resolution and said that he agrees to Remeir. Reb Yehuda was the one that disagreed and says it goes by the airspace. So, and that's because he agrees that you don't say the knife has to go bust at the Iker. So this we find there, same achleik is time like we learned in the Brisa. The Brisa is talking about a case of someone that purchases a tree in someone else's field, with halacha as is brought in Baba Basra, that payal from an alf, that everyone agrees he doesn't acquire the land. He just acquires the tree. Now, then a small tree, says the Brisa, ha-yotzi min ha-gezo u min ha-sharoshin, that comes out from either the trunk or the roots of the tree, which is in the ground. So the first opinion says, ha-re eglu shel balakarka de Remeir. Meir says that no matter if it comes out from the root or if it comes out from the trunk, they go ahead and they belong to the owner of the land. Now, the reason for that is because no one's going to disagree regarding if it's coming out from the roots of the tree, that that's considered the ground itself, and therefore that's going to go ahead and belong to the owner of the ground. But moreover, even if it's coming out from the trunk of the trunk, which this is his tree that he owned, that he bought from that person that the land belongs to, even if this new tree is coming out from the trunk, Remeir holds, you still say that Naifei Basei Ikarei. Although that the knife is in a separate area, meaning it's on this guy's tree, but where is it nourishing from? From the ground. And the ground, who owns the ground? The ground is owned by the Balakarka. Therefore, even if it's coming out from the trunk, he says it goes to the Balakarka. Because like we're saying, he holds Shadi Naifei Basei Ikarei. Now, the Gemara there explains that the difference between the trunk and the roots are is that the trunk is whatever sees the sun, it means that's visible. The roots are things that the sun doesn't see. Now, Rashi points out, although the shvach of the branches belongs to the owner of the tree, as the Gemara there explains, that's because that was the intention that the tree and everything that comes from the tree is going to be his, because as long as it can make a pri, that's why it's in the karka and he's going to take the pri. But that's what Rashi says. But another tree, different tree that's coming out from the trunk, that's a different tree, that's something else. And therefore, says Remeir, then you go and you base it on Basar Ikare, which is from the ground, therefore belongs to the Balakarka. Rabbi Huda Aimer, he disagrees, as we see, as we explain his Machlekes in our Mishnah, that Min HaGezev, if it comes out from the trunk, then Shal Bala Ilan. Since we don't view necessarily the connection of the knife to the Ikarai, since the knife is in the separate area, it's on the trunk, and the trunk of the tree is owned by the owner of the tree, so therefore he also gets the rights now for this new tree, because we don't go Basi Ikarai. But I mean, that's a Russian, but if it's coming out from the roots, then again, everyone would agree, because then it's coming out, then it's in the ground, and therefore it belongs to the owner of the ground. But again, that same achleikis that we find in our Mishnah, that Rabbi is saying that if it's shadi neifet basi ikarai, when it's in the airspace of the other person, although the ikar, everyone agrees, says belongs to the upper garden, but the machlekes is, do we view the neifet as part of that, like Reb Meir says, or like Yehuda, that we view it independent, and therefore belongs to the owner of the lower garden, because it's in his airspace.